news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
President Biden arrived in Europe on Wednesday for the start of his first overseas trip since taking office. He told American troops in the UK that the future of the world would hinge on restoring America's frayed ties with its European allies.
I'm heading to the G7, then to the NATO ministerial, and then to meet with Mr. Putin to let him know what I want him to know. And at every point along the way, we're going to make it clear that the United States is back and democracies of the world are standing together to tackle the toughest challenges and the issues that matter most to our future. That we're committed to leading with strength, defending our values, and delivering for our people.
On Thursday, President Biden meets with UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson. They're expected to talk about lifting travel restrictions between the two countries in place to stop the spread of COVID-19. They're also expected to agree to a new Atlantic Charter, updating the historic declaration made by FDR and Winston Churchill. A new Pew Research Center global survey released Thursday confirms President Biden's assertion that
the United States is back.
In the 12 countries surveyed both this year and last, a median of 75% of respondents expressed confidence in Biden to, quote, do the right thing regarding world affairs. That's compared with 17% for Trump last year. 62% of respondents now have a favorable view of the United States versus 34% at the end of Trump's presidency. The Pew report reads, the election of Joe Biden as president has led to a dramatic shift in America's international image. Another report was issued on Wednesday, this one from the Interior Department's Inspector General, regarding the clearing of protesters from Lafayette Park on June 1st of 2020. Remember that? Well, this report found that police forced protesters out of the park next to the White House so a contractor could install anti-scale security fencing, not so that then-President Trump could walk to a nearby church for a stage photo op holding up a Bible upside down. Oh, by the way, the Interior Department's Inspector General Mark Greenblatt was appointed by the former guy Donald Trump. Yeah, of course, that report was immediately followed by one of Trump's non-Twitter tweet-styled statements, which began, thank you to the Department of the Interior Inspector General for completely and totally exonerating me in the clearing of Lafayette Park. Yeah, not so fast. Here's CNN's Jim Acosta.
I was in the Rose Garden that day when Trump gave that speech and said, I'm going to go to this special place talking about the church. And you could hear the park police and other federal forces, D.C. police, clearing that park. They were violently pummeling protesters, tear gassing protesters. Remember at the time the White House was telling us, oh, we didn't use tear gas. The D.C. police were using tear gas. The other thing that is not clear about all of this is, you know, what did the White House team know at this time? According to the Inspector General's report, they did not speak to senior White House officials. They did not speak to the Secret Service. So this certainly raises more questions. And I have to say, you know, when I read through this report, it sounded as if this Inspector General was auditioning to become the Inspector General at Mar-a-Lago. Because, I mean, this is almost a whitewash of what occurred on June 1st. These protesters were largely demonstrating peacefully and were violently cleared from that park. It was just a huge blow to the First Amendment, I think, in this country. You can't have protesters pummeled by police officers when they're trying to make a statement about racial justice in this country.
Former White House counsel Don McGahn testified behind closed doors last week before the House Judiciary Committee. The transcript of that testimony was released on Wednesday, and it shed new light on the Mueller report. Judiciary Committee Chair Jerry Nadler said that Mr. McGahn provided the committee with substantial new evidence, including firsthand accounts of Trump's increasingly out-of-control behavior and insight into concerns that the former president's conduct could expose both Trump and McGahn to criminal liability. In a statement, Nadler also wrote, quote, Mr. McGahn also confirmed that President Trump lied when he denied the accuracy of the Mueller report and admitted that he was the source for a Washington Post report that confirmed Trump's direction to McGahn to remove the special counsel. Moving on, a big priority for U.S. officials right now in the fight against COVID-19 is getting people vaccinated, both at home and abroad. With that in mind, the Biden administration announced plans to donate 500 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine worldwide. At the same time, the U.S. vaccination rate is slowing. States are reporting that they have Johnson & Johnson vaccines set to expire before they'll get used. And Johnson & Johnson and federal officials are looking at whether the shelf life can be extended or if those doses can be put to other use. About 24 states have now scaled back their daily tracking of COVID-19 data. Some experts call the move premature, given the ongoing public health emergency and the risk of new variants. Well, this was a long time coming. After years of stops and starts, the Keystone XL pipeline is officially dead. The developer, TC Energy, announced Wednesday that it is pulling the plug on the controversial project after the Biden administration revoked its permit in January. The pipeline, which has been a political football for more than 10 years, would have carried oil from the tar sands of Canada down into the U.S. The news comes as a disappointment for many in the oil and gas industry, but for environmentalists who have long argued the pipeline would worsen the climate crisis, it is a big and long-awaited victory. But talks between President Biden and the Republican senators regarding infrastructure collapsed. So a new group of bipartisan House members on Wednesday unveiled a new $1.5 trillion infrastructure plan with $762 billion in new spending. It comes from the so-called Problem Solvers Caucus. And they've said they've been in touch with another group of so-called centrist senators who are discussing their own plans. But progressive Democrats say it's time to work on passing an infrastructure package without Republican support, if necessary. I think it's necessary. So yesterday we told you about the ProPublica report on the nation's wealthiest paying virtually nothing in federal income tax. Well, today we turn to Public Citizen, who also released a new report, this one called The Price of Zero, and it shows that at least 55 U.S. corporations avoided paying any corporate income tax in 2020 on a combined pre-tax income of $40.5 billion. The report notes, quote, had these companies paid a tax rate of 21%, the current federal rate, they would have owed the federal government $8.5 billion. Not only did these companies not pay taxes, but nearly all also got money back from the government, receiving $3.5 billion in tax rebates, bringing the total 2020 tax giveaway for these 55 companies to $12 billion. According to data obtained from the Center for Responsive Politics, instead of paying taxes, the companies invested a combined $408 million in lobbying and $42 million in campaign contributions over the past three election cycles. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.